Many people say that we should keep religion and politics separate. As my favorite Baptist theologian once said, mixing religion and politics, well, it's a lot like mixing ice cream and manure. It doesn't do much to the manure, but it sure does ruin the ice cream. As much as I love this quote, and as much as I get the spirit of it, especially as someone who came out of a conservative evangelical background, where the relationship between politics and religion is heavily, heavily abused, at the end of the day, I must confess that I don't agree. I don't agree that you and I should keep religion and politics separate. Because here's the thing. If you are someone who studies the scriptures, you know full well that at no point does the Bible ever keep religion and politics separate. And if you are someone who reads the church mothers and the church fathers, especially the saints and the martyrs of the first like 500 years of the church, then you know full well that at no point do they ever keep religion and politics separate, especially the martyrs. And if you are someone who takes this liturgy seriously, eventually you will have an epiphany, an aha moment, and you will realize that at no point does this Eucharist ever keep religion and politics separate. For in this place, my dear friends, homosexual people and heterosexual people kneel shoulder to shoulder together at this altar rail. Transgender people and cisgender people serve side by side at this altar. Women and men both have presided at this Eucharist. Rich and poor, black and white, young and old, Democrat and Republican, Nickelback fans and the rest of us who are normal, all of us are one in this place. For in this Eucharist, we are mending the rifts that the tyrants of history have always created between us. This Eucharist is nothing less than a brazen act of political protest in a world that is still filled with so much ageism, transphobia, misogyny, homophobia, oppression, racism, bigotry, division, and hate. It's nothing less than that. As St. Paul has said, at this altar there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for we all are one in Christ Jesus. Another way of saying it, all of our racial barriers and ethnic divisions are broken down. All of our economic inequality is done away with. All of the barriers around sexuality and gender come tumbling down when we recognize our oneness in Christ. Where others have divided us, Christ unites us. Because of this, whenever God's people have gathered for the Eucharist throughout the ages, they have boldly proclaimed that Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. Jesus is Lord and Pharaoh is not. Jesus is Lord and Herod is not. Jesus is Lord and Putin is not. Jesus is Lord and Trump is not. Jesus is Lord, and Biden is not. Even so, there are still some folks who will inevitably say that we should keep religion and politics separate, that God, quote, transcends politics or some such thing. You know, maybe they're right. I totally forgot about that one story in the Gospels. You know the one. The story where John the Baptist gets to keep his head in the end. As he was gearing up to publicly denounce King Herod's incessant corruption, he had a sudden change of heart. He realized that all of the king's supporters might get offended over such preaching, and John cared more about their feelings than naming the injustices that were on full display for the whole freaking Middle East to see. I also forgot about that other story in the Gospels, where Jesus, rather than calling King Herod a fox, which was not a compliment, by the way, Jesus decided instead to keep out of politics, to keep politics and his religion separate, to remain silent, to pray, to cross his fingers, and to hope for the best. He wisened up and he realized that it might be socially inappropriate for him to preach against King Herod and his supporters. You know, even though they had been oppressing the people for years, and even though they had completely bastardized the Hebrew religion by fusing it together with the state's imperial domination system, Jesus had a change of heart. And he thought to himself, you know, they might be swell folks after all. I also forgot about the last story in the Gospels, which is my personal favorite. It's the one where we hear about Jesus retiring in the Galilean countryside at the age of 70, because he was definitely not crucified as an enemy of the state in his 30s. But no. Let's keep religion and politics separate, because God transcends politics. If only the Americans who tout this nonsense could go back in time to preach their ideology to those who didn't know any better, perhaps John the Baptist's head wouldn't have wound up on King Herod's platter. Perhaps St. Paul wouldn't have been imprisoned and then beheaded by the Roman Empire. Perhaps St. Peter never would have been crucified upside down by Caesar. Perhaps St. Polycarp wouldn't have been burned alive at the stake in a gladiatorial arena. Perhaps St. Blandina wouldn't have been brutally tortured and executed by the state. Perhaps St. Ignatius of Antioch wouldn't have been mauled by lions for sport. Make no mistake about it, my friends. To separate religion from politics is to separate Christ from his cross. If you are someone who takes Jesus seriously, then you know full well, that at no point does he ever keep religion and politics separate. I don't care what your evangelical cousins say. He didn't preach the salvation of individual souls. That was not Jesus' main thing. The main thing that he preached was the coming of a kingdom, the kingdom of God, a kingdom that radically subverts all other kingdoms, a kingdom that calls into question every other kingdom. Yesterday was the Feast of the Epiphany. In our gospel reading for yesterday, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, inquiring about the child who had been born Messiah and King of the Jews. But King Herod, just as soon as he heard the news, he immediately knew that this newborn child was a threat to his political power. And all of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, who, like Herod, had sold themselves out to the Roman Empire and sullied their Hebrew religion with imperial politics, they too saw the Christ child as a direct threat to their privileged way of life. My friends, this season of Epiphany is not just about a cuddly baby Jesus in a manger and some wise men showing up on the scene. No. It's also about how the King Herods and the religious bigots of this world, how they lose sleep at night over the presence of this Christ child. Epiphany is about how this Christ child reminds every tyrant that their days are numbered. And the more they try to crucify him, the more they try to keep him dead and buried, the more they hear the Alleluia, Alleluias of his people echoing off of the walls of his empty tomb. As Mary sang of her son, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their thrones and hath exalted the humble and meek."